So imagine you deploy this state-of-the-art AI to detect credit card fraud.
Okay, a pretty standard high-stakes scenario.
Right. And on day one, I mean, it is an absolute masterpiece. It catches 99% of thieves, saves the company millions of dollars, and literally everyone is
Yeah,
celebrating.
as they should be. That's a huge win.
Exactly. But then, say, 6 months go by, and not a single line of code has been changed.
Right.
Nobody touched the servers at all. But suddenly, the AI is just approving millions of dollars in fraudulent charges, like letting the most obvious scam slip right
Oh
through.
man, yeah. That is the ultimate nightmare scenario for any tech company.
But, like, what actually happened? Because the AI didn't break, you know? The code didn't degrade.
No, the code is exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's the world that changed. Consumer behavior shifted, criminals got smarter, and the developers had absolutely no safety net in place.
None at all.
So they couldn't catch the fact that their perfect model was just silently rotting from the inside out. We always assume that because an AI works flawlessly in this, sterile laboratory environment, it's going to survive the absolute chaos of live, unpredictable human data.
Which is a wild assumption to make.
It really is.
And yet.
And that assumption is exactly why so many multi-million dollar artificial intelligence projects just quietly fail.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at a really comprehensive 2026 guide from AI MLOps Masters.
Yeah, specifically focusing on their insights into MLOps projects on GitHub.
Right. And our mission today is to completely demystify this massive industry shift, this whole thing called MLOps or machine learning operations.
It's such a crucial topic right now.
It really is. We're going to explore how AI goes from being this fragile, duct-taped experiment on a single developer's laptop to, well, a bulletproof self-healing system running in the real world.
And the best part is that you, the listener, don't need a job at some massive tech giant to learn this stuff.
Exactly. We are going to break down how you can build these exact enterprise-grade systems yourself using free open-source tools.
Because understanding MLOps, I mean, it's no longer just a niche skill for a few specialized engineers. It is rapidly becoming the absolute baseline for anyone touching artificial intelligence.
Yeah, you really can't avoid it anymore.
You can't. Because MLOps is essentially the discipline of making the unpredictable nature of machine learning fundamentally predictable.
I love that definition. And just to set some ground rules for today, we are going to dodge the suffocating technical jargon wherever we possibly can.
Highly appreciated.
Right. So if you're building your first AI project on your laptop, or if you just want to understand why the AI tools you use every day don't constantly crash, this is for you.
It's going to be very practical.
But before we get into the massive GitHub ecosystems and all the fancy automation tools, we really have to talk about the culture clash.
Oh, the culture clash.
That glaring gap between data science and traditional IT operations.
Because that culture clash is the root of the entire problem we're talking about today.
How so?
Well, historically, you have these two distinct worlds, right? And they speak completely different languages. On one side, you have your data scientists.
Right, the math folks.
Exactly. They are fundamentally mathematicians and explorers. Their entire goal is just to build an accurate, predictive model. I mean, the data scientist will happily spend 6 months tweaking a single neural network architecture just to squeeze out like one extra percentage point of accuracy on a test data set.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because if data science is the invention phase, it's kind of like a team of brilliant aerospace engineers, right?
Okay, I like where this is going.
They're designing this revolutionary, cutting-edge rocket engine in an isolated underground lab, and they get it to fire perfectly on the test stand.
Right, they pop the champagne.
Exactly. They
Yeah.
high five, they take all their data, and they just hand the blueprints over to the IT department. Like, here, you launch it.
And that IT department is the other side of that culture clash. Because IT operations teams, they're not usually concerned with the complex math inside the model itself.
They just want things to not break.
Precisely. Their job is keeping the lights on. They care about server stability, memory usage, security, uptime. So they receive this incredibly complex, fragile rocket engine from the data scientists, but they have absolutely no idea what fuel it needs.
Or how it behaves under stress.
Exactly. Or how to monitor its internal temperature. They are flying blind.
Which is where MLOps comes in, right? Because MLOps is building the actual launch pad.
Yes.
It's the mission control center, the fueling infrastructure, and all those automated safety systems to ensure that the rocket actually makes it to orbit.
So it doesn't just detonate the second it hits the atmosphere.
Exactly.
And without that mission control, organizations suffer from what the industry calls fragmented deployment.
Fragmented deployment. What does that actually look like on the ground?
It means a data scientist creates a genius model. But getting it live onto a consumer-facing app takes months of manual, terrifying work. It's this ad hoc, well, it worked on my machine approach.
Oh, the classic, it worked on my machine excuse.
Right. And MLOps completely eliminates that by introducing structured workflows, strict governance, and really heavy automation.
But taking the traditional rulebook of software engineering and stretching it to fit machine learning, that is where things get really weird, doesn't it?
That'll get complicated, yeah.
Because in standard software engineering, the absolute bedrock of stability is version control. If a developer breaks the app, they just roll back to yesterday's version of the text file. Simple.
That's very straightforward.
But wait, I have to push back here. Traditional software code is literally just lines of text, which is incredibly easy to track.
Uh-huh.
A machine learning model isn't just code.
No, it is decidedly not just code.
It's the code, plus the mathematical weights of the neural network, plus the terabytes of raw images or text it was trained on. So how on earth do teams version control massive, constantly changing terabyte-sized data sets without the whole system just grinding to an absolute halt?
It's a massive logistical hurdle.
Like, if I add one new photo to a 5 million image training set, does the system literally duplicate all 5 million images just to save a version 2?
It's a fantastic question. And honestly, if they actually duplicated the data every time, global server storage would run out in a week.
Right. It just seems impossible.
So they solve this by using specialized tools like DVC, or data version control,
yeah,
that act entirely differently than standard text trackers. Instead of copying the heavy data, DVC works like a highly sophisticated library catalog system.
Oh, okay. So it's just updating the index cards, not reprinting the actual books.
Precisely. The heavy data, the millions of images or the terabytes of user logs, that all sits in a massive, cheap remote storage bucket.
Got it.
And the version control system simply creates a tiny, lightweight text pointer. It basically says, version 2 of this model, use the data set located at this exact cryptographic hash in the remote bucket.
Wow, that's clever.
So when the data scientist adds that single new photo, the system uploads just that one photo, calculates a new hash for the updated collection, and saves a new lightweight pointer.
That is incredibly elegant. So you aren't just saving code version 2. You are saving code version 2, trained on dataset version 4, using configuration settings version 9.
Exactly. You are taking a snapshot of the entire universe that created that specific model at that exact second in time.
Which is huge.
It is. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, adopting this holistic approach to versioning is the absolute only way you can trace a production model back to its origins.
Right. Think back to our fraud detection nightmare from the intro.
Exactly. If an AI denies a legitimate business loan and the regulators come knocking, you cannot just shrug and say, well, the black box did it.
Yeah, that's not going to hold up in court.
Not at all. You need to be able to go back in time, pull up the exact model, the exact code, and the exact historical data set it was trained on to prove why it made that specific decision.
Which flows perfectly into the next major pillar of the MLOps guide, CICD, or Continuous Integration and Continuous Deployment.
Yes, the engine of automation.
In normal software, this is just the automated pipeline that checks if a developer's new code compiles without crashing before it goes live, right?
Right. It's a syntax check, mostly.
But for AI, integrating new code is only half the battle. Just because you've perfectly saved and tracked a model doesn't actually mean it produces good prediction.
No, it just means you haven't lost it.
Right. You still have to test its intelligence. And doing that manually every single time you tweak a parameter, it's just impossible.
It's completely unscalable. The CICD pipeline for machine learning is fundamentally different because you are testing behavior, not just syntax.
Behavior testing.
Yeah. The pipeline automates data validation. So it's checking if the incoming data is corrupted or if it's missing fields. It automates the actual model training process.
Oh, wow.
And most importantly, it automatically tests the newly trained model against predefined performance thresholds.
So it's grading the AI's homework.
Exactly. And if the new version doesn't beat the current live version in accuracy, the pipeline just stops it dead in its tracks.
So it completely takes the human ego out of the equation.
Oh, absolutely. A data scientist might love their new algorithm. They might have spent months on it. But the pipeline enforces the cold, hard math.
Only rigorously tested superior models actually reach production.
That's the rule.
Yeah.
And this brings us to the actual mechanics of how this is all built.
Mm.
We know the rules now. Track the data pointers, automate the testing pipelines.
Right.
But you cannot build a skyscraper with just a hammer. The modern MLOps toolkit is a massive, interconnected stack of very specific technologies.
And this is where a lot of people trying to learn this get completely overwhelmed.
Oh, for sure. It's an alphabet soup.
You hear terms like MLflow, Kubernetes, Docker, Apache Airflow, GitHub Actions. It sounds like a random word generator.
It really does.
So let's map this out clearly for everyone listening.
Okay, let's follow a single AI model's journey. When the data scientist is in the lab running hundreds of slightly different experiments, they need a way to log what actually works.
Right, they need notes.
Yes. That is where tools like MLflow or weights and biases come in. They systematically track every single parameter, every metric, and every model artifact, so nothing gets lost in some messy digital notebook.
Okay, so that's the tracking. Then you need the assembly line to actually move the model forward.
Exactly. That's your pipeline orchestration tools, like Apache Airflow or Kubeflow. They dictate the order of operations.
Step one, pull the data. Step two, run the training. Step three, validate the results.
You've got it. And once that model is trained and validated, it needs to be shipped out into the real world. This is where containerization comes in.
Specifically Docker, right?
Specifically Docker. You can think of Docker as the ultimate standardized shipping container for software.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's use an analogy here because I think it helps ground all these abstract tools.
Let's hear it.
The whole MLOps toolkit is essentially a high-end, extremely busy Michelin star restaurant kitchen.
Okay, I'm with
you. MLflow is the master recipe book, meticulously recording exactly how much salt and pepper went into every single experimental dish so the head chef can recreate the winner perfectly.
I like that.
And Docker is the standardized takeaway box. It doesn't matter if you cooked a delicate souffle or a massive steak. It all gets packed into the exact same standardized box so the delivery drivers know exactly how to carry it.
And that delivery fleet, continuing your analogy, would be Kubernetes.
Right.
Kubernetes is essentially the floor manager. It doesn't care what is inside the Docker box. Its only job is to direct traffic, scale up the number of servers if a million users suddenly log in, and make sure the food gets to the right tables without the restaurant ever shutting down.
But the physical kitchen itself, the shared space where all these chefs, floor managers, and recipe books actually exist and communicate, that is GitHub.
Yes, GitHub acts as the central nervous system for this entire operation.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just a place to store code anymore.
Right.
It provides the structured workflows through branching and pull requests.
Mm.
When a data scientist wants to update a model, they don't just shove their new code directly into the live server. They open a pull request on GitHub.
Ah, so they bring their new sauce to the pass for the head chef to taste.
Exactly. The pull request acts as a formal proposal. And this is where the magic of GitHub Actions really comes in. Opening that pull request automatically triggers the automated taste testers.
The CI/CD pipelines?
Yes. The pipelines spin up, run the tests, and post the results right there in the GitHub discussion thread. The IT engineers can look at it, see that it passes all operational checks, and confidently approve it.
This raises a massive red flag for me, though.
Oh, how so?
Having all these fancy kitchen gadgets, the recipe books, the standardized boxes, the automated taste testers, that doesn't automatically make you a good chef.
Right.
Now, if you just throw MLflow, Docker, and Kubernetes at a totally disorganized team, don't you just end up with a more expensive, faster way to make terrible food?
Well, this raises an important question about tool sprawl, which is a major crisis in the tech industry right now.
Really? Just buying too much stuff?
Yes. Organizations buy 20 different enterprise tools and assume the software will magically fix their internal culture.
Spoiler alert, it won't.
It absolutely won't. You must design clear repository structures and strict governance policies. If you don't standardize how branches are named, how pull requests are reviewed, and what metrics determine a pass, you just get a hyper-complex form of chaos.
Right.
The discipline must precede the technology. Always.
Which brings us out of the theoretical kitchen and into the real world. So you have this perfect setup. The pipelines are humming along.
Right.
What happens when the lunch rush actually hits? Because there are real teams out there right now living and dying by these systems.
And looking at their failures is deeply instructive. We touched on data drift earlier, the fraud model failing after 6 months.
Yeah, that nightmare scenario.
That happens because of a lack of post-deployment visibility. Teams launch the model into the real world, they celebrate the successful deployment, and then they essentially put on blindfolds.
They treat AI like it's traditional software. Like, you release version 1.0 of a calculator app, and you don't have to monitor it because the rules of addition aren't going to suddenly change in 6 months.
Exactly. But AI is predicting human behavior.
And human behavior changes daily.
Hourly, sometimes.
Yeah.
If you aren't actively monitoring the statistical properties of the live data flowing into your model, your accuracy will silently plummet.
And nobody will know until it's too late.
Right. This introduces massive bias, direct revenue loss, and huge operational risk. But the organizations that actually master MLOps, they flip this entirely on its head.
So let's talk about those massive wins from the case studies. Imagine a company where deploying a new AI feature used to take like 5 weeks of agonizing manual handoffs between the data scientists and the server admins.
Just endless meetings upon meetings to get a basic update out the door.
Yeah, miserable.
But one of the most powerful shifts happens when that company hooks GitHub directly into their CI/CD pipeline. By integrating the training, validation, and deployment steps into a single automated trigger, they completely wipe out the manual errors.
Wow.
They turn a slow, terrifying, error-prone release day into a completely boring, mundane Tuesday afternoon.
And in IT operations, boring is the ultimate goal.
Boring is beautiful.
There is also the cultural fix, right? We talked about that massive gap between the math-focused scientists and the stability-focused engineers.
The culture clash, yes.
By forcing everyone to use GitHub pull requests, you establish a shared language. The data scientists are practically forced to write code that actually meets the engineering standards before the system will even allow it to be merged.
It stops the arguments completely. Because the automated pipeline is the bad guy saying no, not the IT manager.
That is such a smart psychological trick.
It is. It creates verifiable traceability.
Right.
There is no more arguing about, well, it worked on my machine. It either works in the standardized Docker container or it doesn't merge. End of story.
But the holy grail of MLOps, the thing that really blew my mind when digging into this guide, is how they handle that silent model rot, the data drift.
Yes, this is where it gets futuristic.
So what does this all mean for that failing fraud detector? If a model starts acting weird in the real world because shopping habits changed, a proper MLOps system doesn't just send a panic email to a developer at 3 at 0 a.m., does it?
No, it goes way beyond an alert. A mature system creates a continuous automated feedback loop. The infrastructure is configured to constantly evaluate the live model's predictions against real-world outcomes.
Okay.
It is literally watching the statistical distribution of the data in real time. If the system detects that the incoming data has drifted beyond an acceptable mathematical threshold, the automation takes over.
Wait, so it fixes itself?
Essentially, yes. The detection of that drift acts as a trigger on GitHub. That trigger seamlessly pulls the latest, freshest data from the last 6 months.
Wow.
It spins up a brand new training pipeline, retrains a fresh version of the model on the new data, runs it through all the automated validation tests, and if the new model proves it is more accurate than the degraded live one, it deploys the update.
That is insane. It's like the rocket engine diagnosing its own drop in thrust, realizing the atmospheric density has changed, automatically rewriting its own fuel mixture algorithm, testing it mid-flight, and swapping it out without the astronauts ever even noticing a bump.
That is exactly what it's doing. It is a staggering level of automation.
I mean, that massively reduces the operational burden on the human team.
Absolutely. You are no longer reacting to broken models. You are managing a factory that repairs its own products.
And this brings us to the most empowering part of this entire deep dive. We spent all this time talking about how multi-billion dollar enterprise organizations use MLOps to maintain these sprawling systems.
Right, which sounds intimidating.
It does. But you, the person listening to this right now on your commute or at your desk, you can literally start building this today.
The democratization of these tools is just incredible. You do not need access to a corporate server farm or a specialized lab to learn enterprise-grade MLOps.
Because it's all open source.
Yes. Mm. The foundation of this entire ecosystem, GitHub, Docker, MLflow, Kubernetes, so much of it is deeply rooted in open source culture.
Now, if you want to jump in, you shouldn't go in completely blind. You do need a foundational baseline.
Yes. You can't just start from zero.
You need some basic Python programming, an understanding of how Git tracks files, a little bit of command line Linux, and obviously a basic grasp of how machine learning models actually train.
But once you have that baseline, the barrier to entry is literally just your own curiosity.
So where should they start?
A brilliant starting point for anyone looking to transition into this field is to tackle a small, self-contained project.
Okay, like what?
Build a simple machine learning model, like a really basic housing price predictor. But instead of just leaving it in a messy Jupyter notebook, force yourself to containerize it using Docker.
Put it in the standardized shipping container.
Yes. And integrate MLflow to track your experimental runs. Push the code to a free GitHub repository and write a simple GitHub action that automatically runs a test script every single time you push new code.
Just a mini version of the whole pipeline.
Exactly. That single project, which might take a dedicated learner just a few days or weeks to get working, touches almost every major pillar of MLOps.
And doing that puts you miles ahead of someone who just understands the theoretical math of AI. Hiring managers are desperate for people who know how to safely launch the rocket, not just draw the blueprints.
That is very true.
But I know you have a caveat here about just cloning these projects off the internet.
I do, and it is absolutely crucial for anyone using GitHub to learn. Knowledge is only truly valuable when it is deeply understood and can be applied dynamically. The internet is full of perfect pre-built MLOps pipelines that you can clone with one single click. Do not just blindly copy and paste the code and claim, you know, MLOps.
Don't just follow the recipe without tasting the food.
You have to employ critical thinking. Question why the pipeline is structured the way it is.
Like, why did they do it this way?
Right. Why did the original author choose a specific validation threshold? Why do they structure the Dockerfile in that exact order? What happens if you intentionally break a step?
You have to break it to understand it.
Exactly. If you understand the underlying mechanical logic, the why behind the operations, you will be able to adapt those tools to the incredibly unique, messy, customized problems you will inevitably face in a real-world tech job.
That is the difference between knowing the names of the tools and actually being an engineer.
Well said.
So to bring it all back to the launchpad, MLOps is the vital, necessary bridge that takes a cool, isolated AI experiment and turns it into a functional, reliable reality.
It really is.
It does this by enforcing the strict rules of continuous integration, continuous deployment, and highly specialized data version control. It tames the chaos of artificial intelligence using collaboration hubs like GitHub to ensure that the AI we increasingly rely on doesn't silently degrade in the dark.
It's the operational discipline that makes the magic of AI actually permanent. And as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, kind of building on that concept of automated retraining we discussed.
Okay, lay it on us.
We just discussed how systems can be configured to detect data drift, pull new data, and retrain themselves.
Right, the self-repairing factory.
But if MLOps systems continue to become more sophisticated, if the pipelines can automatically rewrite their own neural network architectures to optimize for new data streams and deploy themselves without ever requiring a human engineer to even click approve, at what point does MLOps evolve from a set of human operations into an artificial intelligence autonomously managing its own evolution?
Wow. From human engineers building the launch pad to the AI redesigning the rocket and launching itself, while we literally just sit back and watch the telemetry.
Precisely.
That is definitely a wild thought to chew on the next time you interact with a perfectly polished AI tool. Thanks for joining us as we unpack the messy, fascinating reality of MLOps. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep digging into your own deep dives. We'll catch you next time.